Welcome to this, the last Sunday message for the year 2024, 15th of December. We read from the original scripture that we started in the series, Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he himself gave some to be apostles. Father God, we thank you for this message, this time we can share around your word. Our prayer is that as this teaching goes out, all those who hear it will be blessed, and that it will help us to do our part to be found helping your kingdom. We thank you for being with us throughout this year and helping us, and we trust that you will continue with us in the future. In the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, we have been speaking about what is known as the fivefold ministry, and we have already covered four of these, and as we end this year, we're going to be looking at the work of the apostle. Before we do that, once again, I'd like to reiterate that these anointings, as I call them, these five functions that have to be found in the body of Christ for her to thrive are not restricted to various individuals that might carry a title. Because somebody is called a pastor, that does not absolve the rest of the body of Christ from operating in the function of pastor. If you understand the function, it's a caring function, tending, like a shepherd. The same could be said for teaching. Yes, there is the office of teacher, but you and I, as members of the body of Christ, are charged to be always teaching others, passing on information, that which we know. The same could be said of the evangelist. Yes, God raises up mighty evangelists, but that does not prevent you and I from reaching the lost. In fact, that's our duty. Also, the prophetic function. The title of prophet is reserved for someone who might have the office. And yet, that prophetic anointing, as we tried to explain last week, needs to be operating throughout all of us all the time through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not a case of only some people are prophets. Now, yes, some are raised up into that particular anointing and have an office of that. And as we try to explain, you and I, finding our way, which is what this teaching is all about, finding our way into the place where God wants us to be in the body of Christ, need to understand all the things that God has to have happening in the church. And you see, when we understand what the need is, we're able, or should I say, better positioned to look at our own lives and find out what is in our own heart and be drawn, as it were, into the function that God needs in whatever way. The same could be said about the ministry of the apostle. The much vaunted title of apostle needs to be approached with caution. Yes, there are those who have been ordained, as it were, with the office of apostleship. But once again, if we understand the function correctly, that does not stop you and I from operating, perhaps at a smaller level, in an apostolic way. We need to separate title from function yet again. Now, obviously, what I need to do is explain as best I can, as best I understand, this anointing of apostle. Notice in the scripture we read, it says, he himself has given. This is an unction that comes from God. But we must realize that this empowerment is not something completely out of the reach of any normal Christian. In fact, if we understand it correctly, it is something that every one of us should be involved with to a greater or lesser extent. Well, as we've said before, the term apostle, the Greek term, literally means send, to be sent. Now, when we look at the life of Paul, possibly the preeminent apostle, we can get a grasp, an understanding of what this being sent actually involves. It's not just simply going to another town. Because you are sent to another town doesn't make you automatically an apostle. The apostolic anointing carries with it certain specific functions. And if we look at Paul the apostle and his life and his activities and, if I can use the term, modus operandi, we grasp what the apostle anointing is about. Well, yes, it is to be sent, but it's not just sent for the sake of being sent. It's sent with a particular purpose. Well, what is that purpose? That purpose is to essentially establish something new. Paul went to places where there was no Christian church. You might recall how he went from city to city, started preaching in the synagogues. And whatever happened, his plan was to, as it were, introduce the synagogues into Christianity. But we all know he met with violent resistance on occasions. He went through great turmoil. But wherever he went, what he left behind was a Christian church. If we understand church correctly, church is the called out ones, a collection of believers who believe in Christ in any given location. Now you see, the apostle's function is primarily to set up something new. But it's more than just setting something up. There has to be a process of establishing. Now, let's understand what this process of establishing actually is. As we've been saying all along, the function of the church is dependent upon these five pillars. As we said earlier, the five mighty pillars. Apostolic anointing's job is to get these five anointings operating in any given location. Once that is happening, that apostolic function can move on and establish another, as it were, church. You've got to understand this. It's not a case of just going to a village, getting everybody saved and moving on. Far too often in the modern church, that has been the case. There are areas in our community where every kind of denomination can be found. Or should I rather say, shell of a denomination can be found. Some more successful than others, perhaps. And one admires the activities of people who have gone and wanted to establish something. But the understanding has got to be that it's no use getting a whole lot of people saved. That is the work of the evangelist, you see. But the evangelist is not an apostle. He is sent, yes. That apostolic function goes beyond that. We think in the New Testament of people like Philip. He was an evangelist. God moved him around with the express purpose of saving people. The Ethiopian eunuch being a notable example. But you see, he didn't have the function at first of being an apostle, setting things up. Now, the function of the apostle is to set up and establish the church, which means getting involved or operating in all the other five anointings. What we need to grasp in this whole process is that, you see, you and I will not just suddenly become an apostle with the office of an apostle. We will have had experience with evangelism, pastoring, teaching, prophesying, and then establishing. You look at Paul the Apostle. When he arrived at a particular place, his first function was to operate as an evangelist. He brought the good news to people that had never heard it before. He brought the good news. And once, after whatever happened, those people were saved, his job hadn't stopped there. He spent months, sometimes years, in various places. But you see, having established an evangelistic thrust, new converts as it were, then the job of teaching takes over. And we see with Paul and all his writings that he spent a lot of time teaching. In Ephesus, he taught for years, just teaching. He met tremendous opposition, but the word of God prevailed. Why? Paul the Apostle was there teaching. People were saved, but they weren't just left floating, they were taught. And you see, what Paul did was he raised up other people to teach. He raised up other people to evangelize. And yes, Paul became a pastor to those people. Even when he had long since left, he carried in his heart a love for the people there. He was their pastor to a large extent. But once again, what did he do? He handed over that pastoral anointing to others. He raised that function up in their midst. That's what Timothy did. Timothy was raised up by Paul to go and pastor the church at Ephesus. You see, Paul the Apostle was conscious of raising up so that the church could function. Then also, please note that Paul had to operate as a prophet. That prophet had to come in on occasions to the various churches and bring correction. With the story of the Corinthian church, that correction was pretty harsh at times. Paul was loath to do it, but he had to do it. You see, he had to operate prophetically. Error had crept in. The same with the Galatian church. His function was to combat that. And that anointing was the prophetic anointing. Paul had to flow in that prophetic anointing. So you see, Paul was involved with all of these. And as a result, he established churches, got them on a good footing. Very often he left them with a group of elders to take control. The church was established. On occasions he spent more time than on others, but he had done his job, as it were, in each location. However, the function of apostle does not end there. You see, although Paul had established the church, got it running, so to speak, passed on to another venue or wherever, he still had a responsibility to take care of the church. Which means that every now and then he had to come and just make sure that things were in order. That is the function of the apostle. To start up something new, to get it established, to move on and yet give oversight. The church so desperately needs this apostolic anointing. The church does not need people who have a vain sense of importance giving themselves the title of apostle. The apostle's job is probably one of the hardest, next to the prophet. I like to think of this illustration in the North and the South Pole. When ships go into those polar regions, the first ship is always what they call an icebreaker. On the prow of that ship is thick metal plating. What is the function of that thick metal plating? Well, obviously, That is the thrust of the ship, comes against the ice, and its job is to crack the ice, break the ice as it were. And that piece of metal takes a tremendous beating coming against that resistance. And you see, the apostolic ministry comes into a new situation and has to, as it were, break the ice. You have people living in a particular location, possibly with foreign gods, possibly with completely different ideas, completely different paradigm, and that paradigm has got to be challenged with the gospel of Almighty God, you see. And sometimes it's not a very pretty sight, as Paul discovered. They tried to kill him so many, many times. In fact, on one occasion, I believe they actually did. But God had plans for him, and he came back. Having had visions of paradise in the process, he got up and went back into the village and kept going. Paul was called to that, you see. That's the apostolic function, to take the beating, as it were, of breaking up new ice. But then, you see, it's not a case of that's it. The process continues, and there is this whole function of setting that particular part of the body on the right course. It's very important to realize that, you see, as with every other anointing, and if I can call it that, every other title, it's not a question of being an apostle full stop, or a prophet full stop, or a teacher, or a pastor, or an evangelist. The million-dollar question is, if you are sent, who have you been sent to? You and I are not in a ministry office in a vacuum. We are an apostle too. Paul understood this. At one stage, he felt called to set up the body of Christ amongst his own Jewish brethren. After a whole lot of negative experiences, I think he got fed up with it, and he went off and he went to, as they were known, the Gentiles, the Greek-speaking people. But he knew at every stage what he was called and to whom he was called, you see. The same with an evangelist. We need to, if we are in the office of evangelist, know who it is that we are called to reach. And same could be said of a pastor. One is not just a pastor, full stop, generally. You are a pastor to certain people. Now, let's break that down to you and I, just foot soldiers, as it were, in the body of Christ. You might say, oh, well, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, etc., etc. However, guess what? You and I have been sent to our place of work. We find ourselves at a particular school, university, community. What we need to realize is that we are, in a sense, required to operate as an apostolic anointing in that community if there is no presence of the living God. In a sense, if you are in an office and you decide to have a Bible study or a prayer meeting once a week, did you know that you automatically become an apostle? In a sense, that anointing becomes available to you because you are starting something new. Many people find themselves in perhaps a difficult situation. Their work is terrible, etc., etc. And they probably cry out to God to deliver them and take them out. But very often, not always, but very often, the truth is they have been sent. They have been sent there, you see. And if they understand that, if we understand that, we realize this place is in a mess spiritually. God wants me to be here to make a difference. And please note something. If one recognizes that we have been sent, expect the Spirit of Almighty God to give us the anointing to do the task at hand, whatever it may be, which might mean evangelizing, reaching other people. It might mean starting to teach them as best we can. And of course, pastoring them. And possibly, as we get to know them a bit better, bring some correction, operating prophetically, and then possibly it's time to move on, leaving the work to somebody else. Can I just say that if every child of God had this idea or understanding, The whole community would be, to use a term, littered with church meetings going on all the time under responsible leadership. Well, littered is not a good term. Blessed is probably better. But the point is this, you see, that's how God wants things to grow. People taking responsibility to start something where something is not, where there is nothing. You see, in a sense, we are all sent. Yes, we can get people saved and we should do everything we can, as we have already said, operate as evangelists. But at the same time, you see, please understand, God wants to do something greater. And that's how his church is designed to grow. The apostolic anointing, when it works its way into an individual as an office, then what is that responsibility? Once again, an office is designed to reproduce. Paul traveled with so many young men and women, actually. They went all over the place all the time. What was he doing? It was like a mobile Bible college. He was training people up, some to teach, some to be apostles, some to be pastors, some as evangelists, you see. But he himself had all those ministries operating in him so he could teach not only by precept, but by example. And that is the way the body of Christ was designed, to build herself up in love, you see. Well, one could, I suppose, speak for a whole year on just one of these anointings. But you see, the whole purpose in this series has been to just open our eyes, to give us, as it were, a broad sweep. And the prayer is that, as we've been talking about these things, you and I will feel a quickening inside of us. We'll realize that these things have to be taking place if the church is to grow. We won't become stagnant members, hangers-on, as it were, waiting for something new to happen, but rather we'll be the catalyst for new things to happen. We'll be involved with the exciting experience of being part of God's body, his church, on the move. And my prayer is that you and I would take this with both hands. And as we continue in this whole series next year, gradually be able, be equipped, be positioned to move from where we are into a place where we become more and more effective for God and his beautiful kingdom on this earth. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.